The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham, and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So, if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The truth will set you free. Some years ago, I noticed a similarity between these words of Jesus and the infamous phrase, "Arbeit macht frei." Those German words, which can be translated, "work sets free," were posted by the Nazis at the entrance to the concentration camps at Auschwitz, Sachsenhausen, and Dachau. In the context of those death camps, the implied promise, "work shall set you free," was a hideous lie. There is a clear correspondence of words between these two phrases, "the truth will set you free," or "work will set you free." But that's not why I've brought up the second quotation today. Hearing these two phrases side by side helps us see the contrast Jesus intended his hearers to understand. A contrast Martin Luther discovered for himself more than 500 years ago. The problem the Jews who were listening to Jesus' teaching faced, the problem that so troubled Martin Luther in the monastery, the problem that confronts each one of us when we are forced to face up to the reality of our sin is this: how can we be freed from sin and its guilt and the wages of death and hell our sin has earned for us? According to our sinful nature, we're inclined to believe that work sets you free, that you get from God what you deserve. That is, in many respects, the way things work in the world. As the saying goes, there is no free lunch. If you want good things, what do? You work to earn them. Because of this repeated pattern in our lives, when our conscience confronts us, when it becomes clear to us that we failed to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength and all our mind, and therefore have also failed to love our neighbor as ourselves, we tend to think that we have to do better, to work harder, to straighten up so that God will accept us. So we try to stop snapping at people when they do things that irritate us. We try to rein in our thoughts when a person we find attractive comes into our field of vision. We try to be more patient with our spouse. We try to trust God so that we stop worrying and so that discontentment doesn't rule our hearts. But where does this working harder leave you? Sometimes it may seem as if you're succeeding. But if you're honest with yourself, you know that most of the time that just doesn't last. Before long, the very thing you so dearly want not to do, you end up having done yet again. Or perhaps during that time that you feel you're succeeding with the one thing, you recognize just how many other sins there are that have you firmly in their grasp. It might not be obvious to others, but you know that you have often failed, often spectacularly. And it doesn't happen just occasionally. It happens again and again and again. You failed to do better. You failed to escape that sin that bedevils you. So if you're honest, you have to admit that working harder doesn't work. You're no more able to set yourself free from sin by your work than those poor souls who were imprisoned in the Nazi concentration camps were able to set themselves free by their work. Your works cannot set you free from sin. What St. Paul said in today's epistle reading is absolutely true. Whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. Finally, the only thing that you can say is, I have sinned by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. My works will not set me free. For by works of the law, no one will be justified in God's sight. No one. But that's not the final word on freedom. While it's true that everyone who sins is a slave to sin, it's also true that if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. This is the marvelous, glorious truth of the gospel, the truth Martin Luther rediscovered and powerfully proclaimed, the truth that frees from enslavement to sin and delivers from the fear of death and hell. Sinners are set free, are saved, by God's grace alone, through faith alone, because of the work of Christ alone. Your works don't have any part in that. It depends not on what you do, but on what Christ has done for you. This is the wonderful saving message Jesus was proclaiming to those who had believed in him. Their freedom came in clinging to his word, in believing the truth that their salvation was a gift of God, not a result of their own works. The truth that sets free is the truth that although you have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God, you are justified, that is, made righteous, by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The redemption that is in Christ Jesus. For God sent his Son, holy, innocent, sinless, to pay the price of your freedom. He lived a life of perfect obedience as your substitute, making up for each and every one of your failures. His response was always love. His heart was always pure. His trust in God was perfect for every moment of his life. Where you have repeatedly failed to do what is required of you, Jesus fulfilled God's every requirement faultlessly, and he did it for you. Where you did what you shouldn't have done, Jesus kept God's law perfectly for you. He has taken your sin and given you in its place his perfect obedience. But that's not all. Having taken your sin, your disobedience, your many failures, all of your rebellion against God, Jesus paid for it in full. He himself bore your sins in his body on the tree of the cross. By his wounds, you have been healed. Jesus' blood shed on Calvary was the propitiation, the thing which satisfied God's righteous anger that had been kindled by your sin. If God's anger were a roaring fire, Jesus' blood had doused it completely. The fire is ended. There is no condemnation left, not for those who trust in Jesus' blood and righteousness for their salvation. Jesus has paid the price, has righted the wrong, has ended God's wrath. On the cross, Jesus endured the full punishment of sin, death and hell, abandonment by God. And he endured it for you. Everything you deserve because of your sin, Jesus suffered on the cross in your place. He has taken your punishment and given you in its place the love of the Father for his Son, with whom he is well pleased. All those who cling to this truth, who abide in his word of mercy and grace, who trust in Jesus as their Savior from sin and death, are set free. By God's grace for Jesus' sake, your sin is not counted against you. Believe it. God loves you, forgives you, and rejoices in you as his own dear child. Even now he's watching over you and blessing you with every spiritual blessing in Christ. What you could never accomplish by your own works, God has done for you perfectly in Jesus Christ. And so that you may believe it, he provides for you his precious gospel. He declares that your sins, every single one of them, are forgiven. And he comes to you week after week in the Holy Supper, giving you himself. For here at this table, he is both host and banquet. In and with the bread, he gives you his own body broken for you. In and with the wine, he gives you his holy precious blood, the price by which he redeemed you. He joins with you here to forgive you yet again, to strengthen you in your trust in him, and to bless you with the gifts of life and salvation. The truth that sets you free, powerfully proclaimed by St. Paul, rediscovered by Luther, just as mercifully and wonderfully true today, is the precious good news that you are saved not by your works, but by God's grace alone, through faith alone, on account of Christ alone. Thank God that he has made this truth known to you. For by this truth you are set free from death and set free to live under Christ and his kingdom in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. What a merciful and gracious Lord you have. Thank God. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.